full of too many football podcasts, comes another football podcast. One man's quest to find the answers.
Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Now, live from Pine Grove Studio B, it's Let Me Be Frank with T. Frank.
We're just about to summer, and spring football is over for everyone across the country, so football players are now on their own, working out, getting ready for the 2021 season with their strength and conditioning coaches and working on their craft on their own to be ready for the football season. Now, the roster itself, that is a never-ending task of trying to find the best players and putting them in the best situation. So today, we're going to look at five Penn State football players that need to step up and have a big 2021. But we're going to start today with Jaquan Brisker. The Penn State safety who came back for his senior season was named one of the top 10 safeties, according to PFF, that's returning in 2021. So let's ask the question, what does that mean for Jaquan Brisker? What does that mean for Penn State? And can he be in the postseason award conversation? Is he going to be a guy that Penn State fans are rooting for to win things after the season? We're going to get into the tape and see what he's good at and see if any of that is realistic, and then we'll ask an interesting question. Could he be a first-round pick? So the first thing you know about Jaquan Brisker is that he's a very good run defender. As a safety, he's a big, physical, good tackler. This is a guy that doesn't miss tackles very often, takes good angles of the football, and is in position to make plays. He's good as both a box defender and as a guy who fills in the run game, so you can use him in a variety of ways. And that's really interesting and important because not every coverage defender in 2021 football has that same physicality, because as we've skewed more and more towards coverage, safeties are starting to look like corners. You know, like Penn State moving every other corner to safety so they can find that free safety slot hybrid. Jaquan Brisker brings the juice downhill in the run game. So that's an important factor to know about him. And he's a versatile chess piece you can use in a variety of ways, including run blitzing. The next thing is, despite all of that run skill, he doesn't sacrifice a ton when it comes to coverage ability. Now, you're not going to leave him one-on-one in the slot with some elite receivers in college football, but you can use him in a variety of ways, whether it's as a disguised slot player, whether he's covering a tight end, or he's in single coverage in space. He does all of these things reasonably well, and as you can see, he can stay with the receivers down the field. So that's a really important thing to know, is that there's the versatility of playing the run and playing in single coverage and not having to hide him as a big physical monster safety. He really does a good job of splitting the difference, and it's something that Jaquan Brisker has talked about in the past of being a versatile player. So next thing we need to know is what he does the most is that he's a zone coverage player. Penn State uses him a lot as a single high safety, and for the most part, he's in position and does a great job of denying passes. Now, in zone coverage, he does a decent job of being in the right position, coming downhill, making the tackle. Like here you see a third down stop. One area where he has improved, and he can stand to improve even more, by the way, everybody can, is making breaks on the ball, making plays on the ball. Now, in 2019, he had two pass breakups, according to PFF. In 2020, he had five and an interception. So he's gotten better at that. But the elite ball production, anticipation, breaking on routes, making plays for the defense that change the course of games, those are all the things that will get you accolades, noticed, all those things. And really, when we want to answer our questions about, is he going to be a postseason All Big Ten, second team All-American, what's the ceiling here? It's a lot about stats, right? So what safety has the most interceptions? Even if that guy is listed as a safety but plays in the slot 75% of his snaps, people don't know the difference or care. They want stats. So Jaquan Brisker, his activity in the run game, his ability to match up in single coverage and in zone with improving instincts of when to break on the ball, absolutely. If he puts together a good season, he can absolutely be a postseason awards candidate. Now, as we look towards the future and what could he be as a football player in the NFL, there's one last question about Brisker that's really important. How fast is he? And Brisker, by the way, is not shy in saying he's fast.
Speaking of the 40, you know, last time I ran the 40, it was a 4.42. So fast. I was like 210 pounds at the time. That was my first year. That was my first time running the 40 here. So
now I'm not saying that he's not telling the truth, because I do think Jaquan Brisker is fast. I mean, we've seen him play in zone coverage. We see him break on the ball. He's got good speed. The question is, does he have that sort of elite level speed you're looking for when it comes to making up for other people's mistakes? And as a safety, that's a lot of what your job is. And I don't know if it's bad angles to the football, or if it's that he doesn't have that high end sort of speed where it's a difference making sort of thing. There are times you see on tape where he does give up some angles. He does give up a couple of plays where he's not able to recover and make big plays on the ball. So I do think that he is going to be a high draft pick in the 2021 NFL draft. The thing about safeties is it's really interesting that the NFL, unless you have special sort of skills, they don't value the safety position. Now, for a long time, the NFL was looking for single high safeties that could run all over the field. So we're talking Earl Thomas type players that can make plays on the ball and change a defense and be a defense tone setter. I don't think Brisker is that, but very few people are. In the last three seasons, if we throw out the Raiders drafting a box safety in the first round, there has been only one true safety player that was drafted in the first round. That was Darnell Savage three seasons ago to the Green Bay Packers. Isaiah Simmons might be a linebacker. He was drafted by the Cardinals, and they use him in a variety of different ways, whether he's a safety or a linebacker. He's not a true safety. So it's very hard to be taken in the first round as a safety. So for Brisker, he doesn't seem to have that high-end, unique, special sort of skills. That doesn't mean he's not a high-end athlete who can do a lot of great things. I think in the NFL, he'd be a great split-field safety who you can use in single high coverage and use in a variety of different ways. Well, some team is going to use him in a lot of very good, unique, and interesting ways, but I don't know that he has that first-round physical ability. So I don't think he'll be a first-round pick. And that will just then further extend the baffling streak that I can't stop thinking about. Penn State has never had a first-round DB taken in the NFL draft. That still blows my mind. So I don't think Brisker will end that streak, but I do think he's going to be another quality defender in the secondary that Penn State has put in the NFL in recent years.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
Managing a college football roster is a never-ending task. Now, for the most part, though, things are set for 2021. There will be some movement in the transfer portal. There will be some transfers coming and going from most programs. But if you're relying on those people right now, you're already in trouble unless something falls from the sky. So that's why we're going to look at the depth chart, which is not set yet. But we'll look at five players that need to have a big 2021 in order to solidify things and help Penn State have a big season. We'll start at number five and work all the way up to number one. And if you can guess who number one is, you're like everybody else and guess who number one is on the list. We already know who that is. All right, so coming in at number five, Keandre Lambert-Smith, the receiver freshman from last year who you love to have guys like this on your roster. He's big, and this is one of those scouty things, but he just runs well. Like, he runs so well. Big, long receiver, long arms, good catch radius, good hands for the most part. Did struggle with drops in 2020, and in general with the position of just, you know, the small things that make receivers good. But all the potential is still there. Penn State fans should still be high on Keandre Lambert-Smith, but it's what you're much less certain about that than you are about some of the other freshman receivers that have come through recently, including his teammate Parker Washington, who had a strong 2020 and was large part of the offense. Lambert-Smith, when it comes to his impact on the team, if he doesn't take that next step and he doesn't provide that upside that you see in him, there are other options why he's number five on the list. Cam Sullivan-Brown was still a large part of the offense this spring. It wasn't clear that Keandre Lambert-Smith had taken that next step as far as what we saw when we were at the practice where both were involved in the offense. Outside of that, three receivers are coming in for Penn State in the class of 2021. Liam Clifford, who is a high floor sort of player, could contribute early with some good fundamentals that he knows as far as his profile so far. Deep threat Harrison Wallace with a lot of speed, and Lonnie White Jr., who's a very good athlete. It may be a long shot for those guys to contribute in 2021, but it was also a long shot in 2020 for Keandre Lambert-Smith, and here we are. At the very least, with the redshirt rule of everyone being able to see four games, you'll get to see those guys. But if Lambert-Smith doesn't take the next step, there are other options. And the best options, honestly, are at tight end. Not only do you have Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington, who are a great one and two in your offense, you also have the most talented tight end room in the nation, most likely, with Brenton Strange, Theo Johnson, Tyler Warren. Those guys have a tremendous upside. This offseason, there were some reports that they all ran under 4.6. Most of them are over 250 pounds. Wow. So there's talent on the roster for receivers, but Keandre Lambert-Smith would solidify those three receiver sets and make everyone feel better that a guy who's currently on the roster and currently has all that potential has taken the next step. The next guy we're going to talk about is Charlie Catcher. You might not be as think he would be on this list, but Charlie Catcher might be the primary backup linebacker next year. Currently, Jesse Luketa is 255 pounds listed on the roster, and James Franklin has already talked about this spring moving him to a different position, which at 255 pounds is not slot corner. Like, he's most likely moving to defensive end if he decides to move there. So that leaves two players as the primary backups at the linebacker position, and Charlie Catcher is the most veteran of that group, and he's shown over time he's a good coverage defender, he's good at finding his zones, and he's also an asset in run defense, although he is a little undersized. He's trained at every linebacker position, so it's going to be interesting to see if he can find a role on the defense if Luketa moves, and if he doesn't, he's still going to be a player in 2021. It's just what size his role is. And him stepping up will allow the Nittany Lions to move Jesse Luketa, either him or the freshman Tyler Elsden. And as the veteran, you would lean on that guy first. Speaking of veterans that have injury issues and have on-again, off-again field production, Nick Tarburton is the starting defensive end right now for the Nittany Lions. We haven't seen much of him. So asked him this spring, what's your game like?
You know, as far as kind of what I've been able to do so far, I feel like I'm a pretty physical presence. You know, off the ball, I feel like I can strike well, play the run game well. And with that, you know, be able to convert to the passing game as well. I think I'll be able to bring a lot of power, some speed, and you know, I'm going to be a tough player, bottom line.
So the thing with the situation at defensive end with the Nittany Lions is they like to rotate anyway. So when you have that number of players that are playing, one guy isn't going to make or break the impact, but it is very important that somebody step up. And again, as the guy who was the lead one on the depth chart is what we could tell this spring, and the guy that we got to talk to, Nick Tarburton, if he has a strong fall, will help the Nittany Lions solidify, as he talked about, run defense, strong side defensive end, and setting a baseline for the defensive end position that is very light outside of him, especially on the other side of the ball across from him with Adisa Isaac and Arnold Ebikidi, both being under 250 pounds. Now behind him, Smith Vilbert, 6'6", 200 and almost 60-pound defensive end, lots of upside. A guy that, again, like Keandre Lambert-Smith, if he works out, might be the preferable option, but at this point, is the younger, less experienced player, even if Tarburton, most of his experience has been either at a different position or learning the one he's currently playing. Somebody has to step up, so we're picking Tarburton as the guy with the inside track to do that. So the next player, and possibly the most critical player on this list, is safety Jair Brown. Brown is the likely heir apparent to the field safety position, vacated by Lamont Wade, graduating in 2020. And last season, he was a rotational player who saw a lot of snaps on the defense, and it was hit or miss with Jair Brown. Struggled in that safety slot role that the Penn State defense employs at that position, where he has to cover slot receivers down the field at times. He has to come up and fill in the run game. It's a versatile position and one that, especially in big moments, he struggled with run defense or with covering receivers down the field. Now, it wasn't all bad, and I think he does provide a higher ceiling as a coverage player than Lamont Wade did, but he has to improve in that area, or else he's just a struggling run defender and a guy that provides you the what if at the safety position. Now, why it's critical that Jair Brown take a big step in 2021 is there is not another guy on the roster that you should feel super confident about. Now, Jaquan Brisker talked about cross-training at both safety positions, which provides a little bit of relief there. But outside of that, Jonathan Sutherland is more of in the Brisker role as the boundary safety, not a guy that you want in slot coverage a whole lot. He's more of a box player. And then you have Tyler Rudolph, Enzo Jennings, young freshman players that, again, have high upside, good size, look like they have good range, but have absolutely zero experience. Outside of that, it's Keaton Ellis, who just moved to the field safety position this spring. So Jair Brown securing and locking down the starting position, playing as a good safety, is critical for the Penn State defense and for the Penn State team. Now, speaking of the Penn State team, there's no other player that's more important to the team playing well in 2021 than starting quarterback Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford has struggled at times with multiple areas of playing quarterback, and there are always mitigating circumstances when you're the quarterback. Different offensive coordinators hasn't been in the same system for more than 2 years at a time, and has not had the same position coach because of that for more than 2 years at a time. Him taking a step forward and playing up to his potential, which is good. Sean Clifford has good potential. When things work for Sean Clifford, he's a good quarterback. He can execute the offense well. So that's going to be the goal for him in 2021. This offseason, master Mike Yurcich's offense so that you're comfortable on the football field, because when he's not comfortable, things break down. After that, once you're comfortable, make good decisions with the football. As Mike Yurcich has said before, know where your eyes are supposed to be on every play. That's how you learn the offense. That's how you know what to do. And then a lot of these problems that you're seeing here will fix themselves. Distribute the ball properly and don't lose composure. And if you can do all of those things, if Sean Clifford can do all of those things, the last thing is learning to play better after the snap. When the defense adjusts to something you weren't expecting, know what the answer is. Have a counterpunch to what they do. So if Sean Clifford can do all of that, it fixes almost all of this stuff. The margin for error when you have a good quarterback goes up exponentially for your team. So those are five players that Penn State needs to have a big fall in 2021.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
Okay, so it's time to be frank. And this has nothing to do with football. Absolutely nothing to do with football. It doesn't have to do with sports. It's just something that happened in my life that really kind of annoyed me. And I want to share it with you. And this is one of those, oh, wow, he's crazy things. But we're rolling with it. Do yourself a favor. Go to any big box store, any kitchen store, and look for your juice squeezers. Go ahead. Oh, wait. Go look. I did. I looked everywhere. And the thing you'll notice is they're all yellow. All of them. I looked for 6 months. I looked everywhere at every store within driving distance. All of them are yellow. There's not one stainless steel juice squeezer. I don't understand why. And it bothered me that there was none of the other variety. If I wanted just a stainless steel or a regular, like with a grippy on it and anything. No, they're all yellow and they're all super fun. No, I shouldn't say all yellow because there are a couple. If you're going to get real crazy and have some margaritas, you can get a green one. So that leads me to one of two conclusions. The entire juice squeezing industry thinks that we're stupid. And like, we can't figure out the fact that this is for lemons. You use this for lemons. And the other one's for limes. Or as I alluded to earlier, they just want to have some fun. They're your crazy Aunt Maggie, and they just wanted to have a yellow one because it's flashy. Goes with her sundress. So is it's one of those two things. Why are none of them a neutral color? Like, it's not like I don't want a yellow one. It's not like I'm offended by the yellow one. I'm offended by the lack of any other color of them. And by the way, I'm a renegade. I squeezed a tangerine for this. It's the same. So color code, I don't understand that. Because, like, think about that for any other utensil. This is my spatula. This is my grilling spatula. It doesn't look like a hamburger, does it? It's not shaped like a hamburger. It's not brown with grill lines on it. You know why? Because I get to decide what I use it for! Okay, that's enough.